Good to be here, isn't it? Good to be in God's house. And I'm thankful the Super Bowl is at night. Are you ready for the Word of God this morning?
Yes.
Romans chapter 1, verse 16. The apostle writes, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, the Bible says that faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things not seen. In chapter 11, verse 6, it says that without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now these verses that I chose to begin with this morning give us some insight as to the importance of faith in our life. Virtually everything good in life and beyond this life comes either by faith or through faith or of faith or in faith. From the perspective of personal blessing, the things that you need, the things that you pray for, the things that you desire for your life, faith is without question the most important subject in the Bible as it pertains to personal blessing for us. Certainly God is very interested in your blessing and benefits. In one form or another, He has mentioned the subject of faith in the New Testament over 1,000 times. I don't know if you realize that or not. It is a huge subject in the New Testament. Today's message may turn out to be more of a lecture than a sermon on how to have faith. God says that the just shall live by faith. Have you been justified by the blood of Jesus Christ?
Yes, sir.
That's talking about you, the just.
Yes.
How are we going to live by faith if we don't understand it, how it works? That's what the message title is today, Understanding Faith. I think you're going to come away today with some new insight about your faith in the Lord. Sadly, we toss around Bible terminology like everyone ought to automatically know and understand what we're talking about. Preachers probably the worst in the world about that. Well, they don't. New believers, people that are coming to seeking to find out, to learn, don't usually know the terms that we're using and what we're talking about. And often we succeed in further confusing those that we are assigned to teach. So today I'm going to attempt to clear up some of the misunderstandings about one of the most important aspects of Christian life, and that is our faith. Understanding faith is made more difficult by translation into English. I don't know if you realize that or not. You see, our New Testament was written in Greek. Now, I make no claim of being some kind of a Greek scholar in the Greek language. However, I have studied and read enough to realize that in Greek, there is a flow and an interconnection that is lost when the language is translated into English. Now, the most common word, the Greek word, that is translated to the term faith, and that's 244 times in the New Testament, it's the word pistis. It is persuasion, credence, moral conviction. It is assurance, belief, faith, fidelity. Notice that pistis is not a primary word, but it is a variation of another word. And that different word is the Greek word patho, patho. That's the primary verb that all of this comes down from. Pistis is from patho. It means to convince. It means to persuade or to be one who is persuaded, to be persuaded. You'll find that one 55 times in the New Testament. It's most often translated to persuade or to be persuaded. Sometimes it's translated to confidence or assurance. Sometimes to trust or entrusting. All these Greek terms that teach us faith are forms and variations of a single term. However, when we arrive in English to try to translate those terms, they go all over the place, and you would not know that they were one related to the other just by the fact of the language itself. So, what must I do to be saved? You can go to the Bible. Let's go to Acts 16:31. And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." Or you could go to Galatians chapter 3, verse 26, and it says, "For you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus." So which is it? Are we saved by believing or by faith? Now, while the American speaking English may be confused, the student speaking Greek smiles and says, "What a dumb question. It's the same thing." Because he knows one is just another form of the other word. They're not two different words at all. They're the same term. That word believe is in your Strong's dictionary, G4100. It is the word pistuo. Pistis, pathos from patho. Pistuo is from pistis. You can see the flow of the words. It's from G4102, to have faith, as we just looked at. G4100 is to put in trust with. G4100, which is pistuo, and that's the word you're going to find every time the Bible tells you how to be saved. That's the one you're going to see. 248 times in the Scripture, you're going to see that word in the New Testament. But that word is from the word pistis, which is the 4102 word. The one, G4100, is the verb telling you to put your trust in Christ. And 4102 is the noun form of the same word, stating that you now have trust or confidence or persuasion in Jesus Christ. One's a verb, one's a noun. Same term. If you're speaking Greek, it's going to be the most obvious thing in the world to you that we're talking about the same thing with every one of these terms. And there are numerous terms that all stem from that. There's about 8 or 10 of them. To understand faith, you must get away from all the broad definitions applied in English. And you must stick to the narrow and the much more specific definitions of the original language if you're going to understand faith. You must relearn what it means to believe. In English, to believe may mean nothing more than to accept something as factual. It's actually a fact. In English, faith, by definition, is belief that is not based upon proof. That is certainly not what the Bible teaches faith is it? So if you're going to understand it, you're going to have to relearn some terms and be able to put biblical definitions that are accurate on them, instead of just what you've been growing up saying every day. The primary Greek definitions must be adhered to. The primary and most prevalent application of the word believe, and exclusively as applied to what one must do in order to be saved, is to put in trust with. To put in trust with. Now, if you didn't study your Bible and you didn't look up those definitions and if you didn't understand what that was, you would never connect just seeing something as a fact to completely depending and staking your life on something. You just wouldn't understand that those are the same thing. But that's the primary meaning. This term is a verb. It speaks and describes a specific action that occurs at a specific place, at a specific time, in regard to a specific subject. When the Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, it's talking about an action that takes place at a specific time, a specific place, concerning a specific subject. The primary and most prevalent application for the word faith is belief, B-E-L-I-E-F, the state of having believed or trusted in something, or now believing or trusting in something. This term is a noun. It describes the state that now exists after having exercised the verb of believing or trusting in something. Is this making any sense to you? Yeah. I told you it's going to be more like a lecture than a sermon. You got to keep up. All right? Galatians chapter 2, verse 16. Now, let's read this text of Scripture, this long verse here, and see if we can't see these truths in action. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. You see it at work? We have believed. That's a verb. Now we are in faith. That's a noun. How then does one come to live by the faith of Jesus Christ? That's how we started out. The just shall live by faith. How does that work? Well, this process begins, and it is a process. It begins with that Greek word patho. That word patho is persuasion, or the state of being persuaded. The Lord Himself is the author of this process. Does not the Bible say that the Lord draws us to Himself? What's He doing? Patho. He's persuading us. He's pulling us in. We observe creation, and we know there's a God. Can't get around it. Can't explain Him away. You can't look at what He's done and explain Him into non-existence. We see evidence all around us. The process of persuasion brings us to accept the Bible as being the Word of God. That's where God's process, the patho, His persuasion process, brings us. In 1 Thessalonians 2:13, Paul writes to that group of Christians there in Thessalonica, and he says, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing. Because when you received the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe." God says, you've received the word of God, not as the word of men. What do you start out thinking? Well, men wrote it, right? Most of you started out thinking that men wrote it. But as you learned, and as you were persuaded, and as you saw more and more evidence, you find out that that's not the case. This brings us to the state being described by an entirely different Greek term, one that most of you haven't heard before. The state that we're brought to by the persuasion of the Lord brings us to a brand new word. In Greek, it's called proelpizo. Proelpizo. Translated, it translates into first trust. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 12, it says that we should be to the praise of His glory who first trusted in Christ. That term is first trust. What does that mean? It means to hope in advance of other confirmation. You see, there is something that you must have hope or confidence in before you can advance to trusting Jesus to save you. You see, there's just a thing about humanity, about how our minds and our hearts work, is you can't trust in something that you're not sure of. You can pretend to. You can pray a prayer and come to church every Sunday. You can do all kinds of things. But you cannot truly trust in that which you're not convinced or persuaded of. There's a lot of that going on, by the way. A lot of people pretending to be what they're not even sure about. Only after that you are confident that the Bible is the Word of God can you act on that confidence and place or put your trust in the Jesus of the Bible to save you from your sin. Now, we try to get that backwards. We want people to get saved so bad that we neglect making sure they understand where this information is coming from. This information is not coming from men's opinions. This information is coming from God Himself. This is the Word of God. This is not the Word of man. And until you understand that and are able to accept and believe that, you're not ready to move on to any other step, certainly not that true step of faith by putting your faith in Jesus to save you from your sins. You can say it, but believe is not something you say. Trust is not something that you say. Trust is a transaction that takes place in the heart. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. And you can't make it something else. Let me tell you something. If I could get you saved by getting you to pray a prayer, I would use all that salesmanship stuff I learned in the insurance business, and I could trick you into praying any time of the day. I'd just save you myself.
Come on, preacher.
It's like a drunk that kept coming to church. He'd come in drunk every Sunday. And he saw the pastor. He said, you saved me one time. He said, well, I must have. Jesus would have sure done a better job of it. You have to have the hope that comes in the knowledge of first trust. This is what you must trust first as being true. Then, you're ready for the next part of the process. This part of the process is also described in John chapter 1. I'm not going to take the time to just exegete this whole chapter, but let me just point out something to you. Verse 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was what?
God.
The Word was God.
Yes.
And then it goes down to verse 12, and it says, but as many as received Him. Who's Him?
Christ.
The Word.
Yes.
It's just talking about Jesus and His position and role as the Word of God. But as many as received Him, the Word, gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. Where is that power that is in the Word? It's in Romans 1:16. We already read it. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, which means to put their trust in. Once you have trust in the facts, that's called first trust. And then you have heard and understood the gospel. Then and only then can you put your trust in Jesus to save you from your sins. Because you cannot trust in what you don't know about or what you're not sure of. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 13 says, well, let me read verse 12 with it. It says that we should be to the praise of His glory who first trusted in Christ. That's that propelizo. It means accept as a fact. Hope and confidence in that this is the truth. Then he says, in whom you also trusted after that you heard the word of truth, comma, the gospel of your salvation. Now what is that? That's that power to save that's in the Word. Amen?
Amen.
In whom also... Oh, look, the Word is now a whom. Just like it said in John chapter 1. Jesus is the Word made flesh and dwelt among us. In whom also, after that you believed, that is put in trust with, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. What a program. This is how faith works. You now, with the right information, can begin to live by faith. First trust. First you have to have the facts. You have to understand and know that the Word of God is true. Second trust. Upon learning the message of the gospel, the death and the burial and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ according to the Scriptures, then we put our trust in Him to save us then and there, a specific time, a specific place, with a specific subject to save us from our sins. Now, some of you know that the Bible is true. You've already arrived at first trust. You're there. but you've never followed through and trusted Jesus to save you. You think you're done, but you're not. And you need to take care of that today. Some of you are what God described in Deuteronomy as children of no faith. You need to let us help you fix that. You see, we can show you the evidence. We can show you the facts of the matter. And you can see and understand for yourself that the Bible really is the Word of God. It is not that English definition of faith with no proof. We got plenty of proof. No shortage. And then third trust. You mean there's a third trust? Yes. Now, after we know the Bible's true and after we have trusted in the Jesus of the Bible to save us from our sins, now we can live our lives by trusting God's promises to His children. This is the verb again. We act upon His promises, each and every one, by meeting the conditions of each. This is what it means to live by faith. And it's a wonderful life. It's better than any other life. It's fruitful like no other life. It's the best life has to offer, living by faith of Jesus Christ. 1 John 5 and 13 says, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life." Which trust is that talking about? That's talking about second trust. Trusting Jesus to save you, to give you everlasting life. And then it says, "And that you may believe or trust on the name of the Son of God." This is third trust. Now that you've trusted Him to save you, are you just going to quit? Now you're ready and qualified and able to trust Him to guide your life, to provide your needs, to protect your family. Everything that God's got a promise for, you can trust Him to do if you have first trust and you are now saved because of second trust. Now you're ready for third trust. You say, "I've never heard it called that before." I hadn't either. But there are three. There are three levels of trust that one must come to in order to live by faith. I want to clear up one last misconception. Even though the Bible says in numerous places, and by the way, there is so much more to learn about faith than what I'm going to share with you today. But I'm just going to give you one more really gem of a truth that'll help you. The Bible says in numerous places that our faith saves us. But each one of those statements is pre-qualified by other facts. For example, Romans 5:1 says this, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Amen, right? But verse 9 says, "Much more then, now being justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him." So which saves us? Our faith or His blood?
His blood.
There's no question of that. You see, you need to understand that the power is not in your faith. Faith is the connector. Faith is the conduit that flows the power of God into our lives. But all the blessing and all the goodness and all the saving is credit goes to Jesus, not how strong our faith was. It's not my faith that's taken me to heaven, although without it I can't get there. It's the blood of Jesus that paid for my new home. Does that make sense? This is nothing contradictory in this. This is just how it works and how it is. If I give you any more than that, it's going to be hard to hold.